Welcome, everybody. This is Table Talk, your healthy theological radio addiction. I'm here with Clint Poppy and Adam Moline. My name's Brent Kuhlman. I serve Trinity Lutheran Church, Murdoch, Nebraska, and my two co-hosts, they serve Good Shepherd in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Well, we kind of serve those congregations right now.
Kind of?
Well, I mean, we've been told by the government authorities that it's against the law, or at least against a proclamation, or against some mandate to have corporate worship services. People are supposed to stay at home, and all corporate worship services at Good Shepherd have been suspended, along with most Christian congregations in the city of Lincoln.
Or unless you're in Kansas.
And there's a legal fight going on in Kansas right now. And so it is a strange time to be a pastor, serving the people of God through technology, through home visits, if people will let you in their home, drive up church in a lot of places. Pastors are trying to have services of a pastor and nine congregants.
That's me.
At one time, again and again and again and again.
Yeah, that's me.
And so we're doing our best to love our neighbor. We're doing our best to follow the authorities of the church. But I don't know. I feel deep pangs of guilt right now, because it appears that I have allowed the fourth and fifth commandment to perhaps trump the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. So this is an ongoing struggle that I have, and I know we joke around a lot on this program, but this is no joke. This is very, very real.
All right, Clint, so let's pursue this. Just for the sake of the discussion and for trying to edify the people who listen. I talked about the three estates last time, okay? So let's talk about the estate of the civil authorities. From your perspective, how are the civil authorities doing things that are unconstitutional? Are they doing things that exceed their authority? Are you seeing this?
It appears to me that the civil authorities, I think they are well-intended for the most part, and they want people to stay healthy. But at the same time, the restrictions that have been put out are very, very arbitrary. I've been in the sanctuary at Trinity Murdoch, where you serve. What does it hold? 100 people?
Yeah, if it's full packed, we get about 150.
Okay. You could probably, in that space, put 40, 45 people, socially distanced, every other pew, and keep sanitary and safe. The sanctuary here at Good Shepherd is rated for 410 people. We could easily put 200 people in our sanctuary, every other pew, socially distanced, in family groups, and not violate any sanitary rules and regulations. And yet, the rule of 10 is for everybody in every situation, regardless of the specifics.
It's a one-size-fits-all.
It's a one-size-fits-all, no. And I can drive through and pick up a taco. I can drive through and pick up a cocktail and a cigar. I can drive through and pick up my lottery tickets. And yet there is this big question about whether even drive-through church is somehow against this new law. And so in that way, yeah, I would say that I think our authorities have exceeded their bounds, and we can trust that Christians will do everything possibly to love our neighbor as ourselves as we gather to worship the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
I'm going to come back to that in a minute, but Adam's chomping at the bit.
Well, they definitely have overstepped what they should be doing. I mean, I don't think there's a question about that, because they are applying the law unequally. right? According to the Supreme Court, the way that our Bill of Rights is upheld is if it's applied equally across the bounds. So if the government has an interest on behalf of all the people to keep people safe, they can say you need to stay in your home or you can't eat this or whatever. They can do those things so long as it's applied equally. The problem is it's not being applied equally right now, right? So we have governors who say, you can go sit in the parking lot at Walmart, but you can't go sit in the parking lot at a church in Kentucky without getting a $500 fine. You can get food from Culver's, but you can't pass communion through a car window. That's applying the law unequally, which is something our Supreme Court has said is inappropriate, and our Constitution is supposed to guarantee the laws applied equally across the board, and it's not happening. And so therein lies the real problem that we need to litigate from a purely human standpoint. From a religious standpoint, as us of the church, when they request us to do something, that's just fine, right? And maybe as a church, we should uphold the fourth and fifth commandments in keeping our neighbor safe when they request that we limit the number of people in our building and things like that. There's a difference between them requesting it and them enforcing it and litigating it. And therein lies also the problem, which goes back to the first point. They're applying the law unequally against churches, but not against restaurants, bars, and all these other places.
Well, I'll throw that out. Mosques? Did the governor of Kentucky enforce this with mosques, or was it just Christians?
You know, that is an interesting question.
And I don't say that because I hate Muslims. That's not the point. It's just applying what you just said, Adam. The governor of Kentucky make sure that the police officers went to the mosques and made sure that they weren't violating the rules?
None of those kind of things have made the headlines.
See, I don't
and
know.
So we can only make assumptions with regard to that. But those things are not making the headlines. And you know, in some states, Planned Parenthood and providing an abortion has been deemed essential work. You know, you can't get your shoulder worked on because that's not essential. But if you were going to have an abortion, you'd be able to go.
Again, the law unequally. Even if you're going to get your child's braces adjusted, right, as you'd been scheduled to do, you can't not do that. But you can go into an abortion clinic. It's applying the law unequally, and that's a big problem that we need to litigate. And I'm going to break the Eighth Commandment here. Let me say it carefully. We need to unelect all these little tyrants that we have all over the country in mayors and governors, congresspeople, senators, whoever it is that is overstepping their bounds and infringing upon the rights of people in an unequal fashion. They need to be removed, and we need to be brave enough to do that.
Clint, I want you to say more about what you were talking about at the beginning here. I mean, have you seen, again, we're talking about this particular estate, the civil authority. In our country, we have a constitution, and the constitution delineates who makes laws and who passes laws, etc. Are you seeing that violated?
Well, of course. And again, it's all because of the pandemic, all because of COVID-19.
You know, who do we fear more?
Well, we fear death. That's the problem. And that's the only reason that, as Pastor Moline characterized, these little tyrants are getting away with what they're doing. People are afraid to die. And so they're...
If that's the worst thing that could happen.
As if that's the worst thing that could happen.
Pardon me, but I have to say something, because I don't know how many times as a pastor, and I've been doing it for a long time, I've asked the people that I've served, what's the worst thing in the world that can happen to you? And I say, as a pastor, here's the answer that I've heard over and over again. I'm going to die, Pastor. And then I have to say, guess what? That's not the worst thing that can happen to you. And secondly, the worst thing that can happen to you is going to hell. But I have to teach people, do you realize that you've already died with Christ? That when he died, all died, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, and that you were buried with him into death through baptism, Paul teaches in Romans 6. That is to say, the great death has already been behind you. You've already died. And so, you know, the physical death, remember Jesus, every time in the New Testament he comes across somebody who's dead, he says, well, they're only sleeping. because he's changed death.
And the people laugh.
Yeah, in Mark's gospel, yeah, with the little girl, they laughed. The only time in the Bible that's recorded where people laughed at Jesus is when he said, oh, she's only sleeping. Talitha kum, little girl, I say to you, get up. My point, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you here, because this is really getting, I think, at the nub of it, is that we have to teach people that you may get COVID-19. You may die, but it's not the worst thing in the world that can happen to you. And now, if you believe that that is, then you will allow certain things to happen, and that's where we're going here. Then you'll allow governing officials to dictate anything at a whim. That's what I'm driving at. Say more.
The rule of law.
Death becomes our God.
Death becomes our God, yes. That's the
we
thing.
Fear we, death more we, than the Lord.
We fear more than God. The rule of law has been thrown out. You know, we pride ourselves in America of having the most wonderful legal system and governmental system in the world. We elect officials who then propose laws. These laws are debated in open and public forum. These laws are voted and then put in place. And then the executive branch makes sure that these laws are carried out. When people have a question about whether these laws are right or fair, the judicial branch makes a determination with regard to that, all three working in concert, not one above the other.
So give us concrete examples of where this has been violated.
Well, let me just give you one example would be with the arbitrary decision that barbershops and hairdressers should close. There are many, many things going on in the state of Nebraska, in the city of Lincoln. You can go and buy your lawn mulch or your garden plants to put in the garden. No restrictions there. You can go to the grocery store. You can go to the big box stores, Walmart, Costco, those kind of things. No restrictions. But if you're a hairdresser, I believe in the whole state, but especially in the city of Lincoln, you are forced.
It's the whole state.
The whole state. You are forced to close up your business, and many hairdressers, barbers are self-employed, so they don't qualify for unemployment, and they are just out to lunch, literally. And this was arbitrarily decided that getting a haircut was not an essential thing to happen during this pandemic scare. There's one example.
Okay.
There's one example. And
now I'll play devil's advocate
for
the sake of the discussion.
Okay, we got about a minute before the break.
Well, other people would say, but that violates the social distancing. You can't but be close up, and so that puts people at risk. That's what they would say.
Sure, and again, this social distancing, while it might be a wonderful recommendation, there are other places that are violating the social distancing, like at the different stores and things that I mentioned already.
The whole country of Sweden.
People are wearing a mask, they're using their disinfectant on their hands, they're maybe wearing gloves, and they're taking every precaution with regard to the health and safety of others. And I think that the hairdressers are smart enough to do that too if they were given those guidelines. So mm-hmm. that's one example of how the rule of law has been thrown out. And I would say that
I'll give you another one. When the governor of Michigan arbitrarily said that you cannot travel from one residence to another, it reminded me of the first time that I went to go teach in Siberia, and how the Russian people told me that we always had to register with the government officials before we could travel from city to city. Guess what, folks? This is Soviet Union stuff. Well, I hear the music. We'll come back in a minute. Hang on tight.
You are listening to KNNALP 95.7 FM, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Table Talk, your healthy theological radio addiction. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have his church. That's his promise. He says, not even the gates of hell will prevail against my church. He even says that I'm going to build my church on your confession, Peter, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. So have no fear, folks. Don't despair. The Lord will always have his church. He'll always have his Christians all over the world. As the gospel faithfully is proclaimed and as the sacraments are given according to the Lord's mandate and institution, the Lord's going to have his church, and he's promised that. And so when you pray, as you see things happening in this country and across the world, the persecution that happens, we were talking about this the last time we read Matthew 24. Don't despair, because the Lord will keep his church. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And as the book of Revelation teaches us quite clearly, that Jesus is Lord, nobody else is. So don't be tempted and don't fall into the trap of deciding, well, you know, I think I'm going to worship at another altar, the altar of death or the altar of whatever it may be, a Caesar or a politician. I'm not going to call anything or anyone else Lord except Jesus Christ. I'm going to repeat this, brothers and sisters. The book of Revelation is not hard to understand at all. It's really quite simple. All the worship scenes show who sitting on the throne? The Lord Jesus Christ. And the victory is proclaimed in his death. So the kingdom has been won. The victory's been won. Jesus has won it all. And those scenes in the book of Revelation about all nations, languages, tribes, etc., falling down to worship, of course, is in contradiction to Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel, where the same kind of language is used at the image of gold. You know, when all the nations, tribes, languages would fall down when they heard the orchestra play and they would worship the image of gold. And no doubt the image was Nebuchadnezzar's. And so the book of Revelation, there's only one person you should worship, and that's the one who took on flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's won the victory. I'm saying this because the book of Revelation is very instructive for our times today in which we live. The temptation during this pandemic is to fall into the demonic temptation. Satan's, and by the way, Satan always parades around like an angel of light. For the sake of, fill in the blank, and then Jesus gets forsaken. You worship a different Lord. And Revelation is teaching you, don't do that. Babylon, we were talking about Babel, you know. Well, Babylon gets transferred, you know, to Nebuchadnezzar, Darius. Then it gets transferred to Rome. Rome is Babylon at the time of the apostles. And fill in the blank today, you know, who's Babylon? Well, it never went away. It's still going on both politically and in the church. Babylon's still alive. The devil at work trying to destroy Christ and his church and the institutions that God has instituted, family, home, society, church, okay? Point being, Revelation teaches, and I can't emphasize this enough, during this pandemic, Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Yep.
Okay? Worship him.
Amen.
Okay. Not governing officials.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
Not CDC officials. Not World Health Organization officials. They are not the Lord. And I think to a certain extent we have to take a step back and say, like in Acts 5, when they tell us that we can't do certain things, we're going to have to evaluate what they say based upon the Word of God. So when going to church gets criminalized, I think we need to say we will obey God rather than men. I told Adam before we recorded one of the programs, there's a county over the last couple of weeks, I don't know if they still have this in place, but I forget the name of the county. You can look it up on the internet and find it as quick as you can say Bob's your uncle. But a county in California, the health official of that county said, well, you can continue to stream your church services live on the internet, but there can't be any singing. And I think that's when we basically, just to be frank, we give these people the middle finger and say, guess what? I'm going to sing. Now, if you want to come arrest me for singing a hymn when I'm streaming the service on Facebook, be my guest. And I'll be like the apostles in the book of Acts. I'm going to sing hymns in prison. And guess what? The word of God is not chained. And guess what? Your guards are going to be converted. And who knows? Maybe the Lord will send an angel to set me free. By the, I mean that. I'm not joking when I say that. Do you think that couldn't happen? Yes, it can. And the jailers will be converted. You think, the point being, you people, when I say you people, I'm talking about people who overstep their bounds and think that they are little divinities. If you think you can save the world by man-made rules or tyrannical regulations, I got news for you. Jesus already did save the world. And you may think that you can save the world by persecuting Christians in the church. Got news for you. Your persecution of the church will further the church even more.
The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. This is the historical fact, right? Every time the church is persecuted, imprisoned, killed, martyred, all these things, it actually grows both in strength and in numbers, and that's the way it's always been throughout all of history, from the Old Testament during the time of, you know, Emperor Decius or the Aurelian persecution or the Diocletian persecution. The church grows stronger in the face of persecution. And this is just happens time and time again. And I think of Daniel chapter 3, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are told, if you don't worship wrongly, you'll be thrown into the fire. And they say, we have no need to answer you in this matter.
Yeah, we don't have to justify ourselves.
Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. And I think that's right where we need to be as Christians.
Now, this doesn't mean that we go out purposely trying to create our own crosses to bear.
Right. Okay? And that's the historical thing they talk about as well in the times of persecution of the
right. Bible. We bear crosses as a gift from the Lord. He gives them to us to bear. And he's in control of those. So I want to disabuse people of this utopian fantasy of I'm gonna suffer for the sake of the gospel and I'm going to invent my own crosses to bear. I got news for you. You try that, ain't going to work very well. So be aware of that. That's Satan at work too.
In the Decian persecution, Origen's father was martyred. And
Origen, can you say Decian? Now give us a time frame here for the folks who are listening.
This would be the mid-200s AD. Origen's father was killed in the persecution, and he wanted to go and get killed for Christ as well. And the church locked him up and said, you cannot go and seek your own martyrdom. If it comes, that's fine, but you don't go out and seek it.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
the same way we should talk about it as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, the last time we talked before we had the break, I mentioned the Michigan governor, and we were talking about how possibly these people are violating the United States Constitution and the rule of law. And I would suggest something. There's a parallel universe between the church and the governing authorities over the course of centuries. And I was talking about this during the break, and I'm going to make this as coherent as I can. Just watch how this works in the history of the world since the 18th century. In the church, external authorities have been removed categorically. So in the 18th century, what external authority was essentially removed from the church? The Word of God.
The Bible.
Yeah, the Bible was attacked. In other words, the seminary professors and all the experts in Scripture in the 18th century, I'm generalizing to make my point, they would say, well, it's full of errors. The Bible is full of errors, and we all know that this is not the Word of God. This is not God talking to us at all. Therefore, that external authority is eliminated. Then in the 19th century, and again, I'm generalizing to make my point, so just run with it. In the 19th century, another external authority gets removed, and it follows precisely from the elimination of the Word of God. Well, guess what? The author of that word then gets, quote, eliminated. So you have Friedrich Nietzsche, whom I mentioned earlier, and it comes a full tilt in the 20th century in the United States with a Time magazine cover in the 1970s or late 1960s. God is dead.
Yeah, Easter Sunday, I believe it was 1967.
Okay, and the point being, external authority gets eliminated in the history of the church. Word of God, God himself, and then just follows. Similarly, in the civil estate. So we have the Ten Commandments. Common law, just do your history, folks. Common law, that's America and England, the common law that we have was based primarily upon the revealed law of God in the Ten Commandments. Well, guess what? That gets eliminated in jurisprudence. And then when the Ten Commandments, the revealed law, gets eliminated in jurisprudence, then guess what? Then natural law itself gets eliminated. And now we're to the point where, when these external authorities are removed, then it's pure raw power. So in the church, raw power. What do I mean? The bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, just for an example, Elizabeth Eaton. She can dictate anything she wants in that denomination, whether it's gay marriage, transgender pastors, doesn't matter. Why? Because there is no external authority. She's it. And she speaks with the authority of so-called the Holy Spirit. So no one can object. Okay? That's why when people hear Elizabeth Eaton talk about whatever topic it is, and they'll say, wait a minute, that's not in the Bible. That goes against the Bible. Well, duh, they've eliminated that. She's her own authority. She's a tyrant. She's a fascist theological tyrant. And similarly, that's what's going on in civil society. We're just simply down to raw power. And I think that's when you have a governor of Michigan who says, if you travel from one residence to another, you're going to... And guess where this... The precedent has now been set for future pandemics, or you fill in the blank, where she can once again say, not just resident to resident, but you can't go to church at all. Not even nine people. Nobody. Not even the pastor can go to church.
Well, they even talked... And then Bill Gates said you had to have a... You should have to have a certificate to say you has the vaccine before you're able to go place to place.
Okay, now, see, this is just like the Soviet Union. This is just like communist China. Again, when I went to teach in Siberia in the 90s, and you talk about what was life under the Soviets, yes, they talked about you had to register with the authorities before you could travel, and then you had to have papers. You had to have the right... See, this is exactly where all of this is leading, isn't it? That's what I fear. Point being, Clint, we have a constitution, and I asked you before the break, give us some concrete examples of where our authorities are violating the United States Constitution. Is this what's happening, you think, Adam?
I think it is, but I trust not in princes. I trust in the Lord, and that's, I guess, good news for us as Christians. You know, we've been talking a lot about this, but the truth is Christ has overcome the world, and no matter what they do, no matter when they kill us or if they kill us or put us in jail, in the end, we have victory in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to keep our eyes firmly fixed there because that's the way we're going to make it through this one way or another.
And there's more to say on that. You're exactly right, right. And more, and here's where I want to go. I said before that our Lord has instituted three estates, the family, the church, and civil authority. He, since he established them, he will preserve them. He will still have them until the end of the world. And so that's another thing. So when we pray and as we live, we must keep that in mind as well. We don't despair, you see, in either of the estates. That's the temptation for me, is to despair. And I hope people don't get that impression here. We don't despair. God will protect and preserve the three estates he's established for this world and for the next, the church for the next, of course.
Can we let the Lord have the last word?
Yeah.
Psalm 56. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long. For many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?
Amen. Amen. And as another psalm says, that God sits in heaven and laughs when people in the three estates violate their boundaries. Well, I hope this is helpful, folks. In the meantime, stay Lutheran. Bye-bye.